This is Retirement Talk with Mike Graber from Compass Retirement Advisors. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Mike Graber provides his clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful strategies to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here is Retirement Talk with Mike Graber.
Hello, and thank you for joining us. I want to start today by asking a question. Do you know what your money is doing? A second question, do you know how your shareholder vote is being cast? And these might sound like strange questions, but in today's world, I think it's important to know how your investments are being used. And unfortunately, with today's political and social agendas, the things that are more and more in the news, I think this is something we need to take a few minutes today and talk about. How does an investment manager decide which stocks to buy for your portfolio? And should we be paying some attention to the motives behind these decisions? Well, today we're going to expand on a recent ESG conversation that we aired here on Retirement Talk with Mike Graber. In part one of our ESG discussions, we aired that at the end of May. And then part two aired part one we aired at the end of April, and then part two the first Sunday of May. And in that part two, we shared a discussion between Peterson and Ramaswamy. And they talked about some of the motives and the origins of the ESG movement. And as a reminder, the E stands for environmental, the S for societal, and the G is for governance. And ESG is becoming an investment standard by which some investment fund managers are making investment decisions. And as we've said, it is a much different standard than the traditional financial analysis when looking at a company and deciding if that's a good investment to make on your behalf for your holdings. So if you missed these discussions, I encourage you to go to our website, Compass Retirement Advisors LLC, and click on the radio tab, or you can look for us at your favorite podcast site by subscribing to Retirement Talk with Mike Graber. I think there's a lot that can be gleaned from those two shows, from this information, especially if you care about how your funds are being used. So again, please go to our website or to your favorite podcast site and look for those ESG shows that we aired. In today's show, we're going to step beyond the ESG movement and consider other reasons to ask this question: how is my money being used? For myself, for many of my clients and my friends, you know, we want our investments to match our personal beliefs. There may be activities that we don't want our money involved in. We don't want to be associated with certain activities. And so, again, it's important to ask this question, you know, how's my money being used? And even in doing that, some are surprised to learn that they might be profiting from abortion-related activities, profiting from anti-family entertainment initiatives, profiting from human rights violations, and even from financial activities that target low-income families. So we want to just put it on the table here and be aware, you know, are we profiting from, or might we be helping to promote, certain activities? And as I said, for me personally and many of my friends, it's become an important issue, again, especially in the world that we live in today. But before we dig deeper into this topic, I want to welcome in Tony Shore. Tony, another important financial topic today as we deal with this question: how is our money being used?
Yeah, that's always a good question, right? I mean, that's something we should all know about and care about. And it's great to be with you today, by the way. And hello to our Retirement Talk with Mike Graber audience out there. This is a tough issue to deal with for today's show. Wow. I mean, how exactly are these investment dollars being used? And that's a fantastic question. I know if our listeners out there are anything like me, I'd not given this question a lot of thought, but I think that is probably pretty normal. Most of us invest to grow our nest egg. But in today's world, especially the woke world, there's a lot more to it. And this is a big topic for discussion. Very meaningful in today's woke world. A lot to cover. So where do we begin here, Mike?
Well, let's start by reviewing how it works when we own shares of an investment. And we're going to be speaking specifically to common stock ownership here. And we're going to be referencing an Investopedia article from back in March of 2021, and that was titled, "What Are Shareholder Voting Rights?" by Eric Estevez. And then there's some information on the Fidelity.com site that talks about shareholder ownership. So a voting right, what is it? Well, it's the right of a shareholder of a corporation to vote on matters that comes before the corporation, things like corporate policy. This could be decisions on the makeup of the board of directors, issuing new securities, initiating corporate actions like mergers and acquisitions, perhaps approving dividends. And then if there are substantial changes in the direction of the corporation, there may be votes involved there. It's common for shareholders to voice their vote by proxy. We don't all travel to the annual shareholders meeting.
Right.
We can vote by proxy by mail. Or perhaps we sign over that voting right to a third party who casts the vote for us. So investments or investors with common stock, we generally are allowed one vote per share that we own. So if I own 1,000 shares of XYZ company, then I would have 1,000 votes to cast. So that would be an individual common stock and how that vote works. But when it comes to mutual funds, a mutual fund, they are a company, they're an investment company, and your investment in shares of a mutual fund make you a shareholder of the fund, as I said, and you're entitled to vote on matters presented at the fund's shareholder meeting. Again, with the mutual fund, one vote is what you are entitled to, usually for each dollar of net asset value of the mutual fund that you own. So votes are cast either by you or someone you give your proxy to, and most of us have received proxy materials in our mailbox, and I know most of the time those are not returned, but yet there's enough people that do return them and people that attend the meetings that business is conducted. So when you get those proxy materials in the mail, you might want to give it a closer read the next time.
Okay. Well, that sounds pretty clear, actually. And as an owner or shareholder, I get a say in the big decisions, the way it sounds. But that doesn't apply to day-to-day operational matters, does it, Mike?
No, Tony, you're right. It doesn't. Our votes might usually elect a board of directors that we hope reflect our desires on other big issues. But, the president, the CEO, and their designees are going to be running the company, making day-to-day operational decisions. And, as we said, each share is entitled to a vote. And that's about as far as our ability to participate in the direction of a company goes. But it's really the decisions made, as I said, by the board, the CEO, the president, other company executives, department heads. That's where the rubber really meets the road. We have to take a look at things that, the products the company manufactures. What are they used for? What's the purpose of those products? And the thing that I think is a growing concern for most Americans these days is the social issues that the company chooses to engage in. And that's really one of focus today. I think that's a bigger picture issue with each week that passes. We hear of companies supporting this activity or donating to that activity or providing services or benefits. And we just need to be aware of things. You know, what if the company is doing something? What if they're involved in activities that for you, you might find objectionable? You know, do you want to invest in that company? Do you want your shareholder votes cast to elect people to boards that have a different agenda or a different mindset when it comes to, you know, a whole host of issues? And, you know, from household to household, the issues can be different. So, you know, for me, I think I have to ask myself, do I want to profit from what, you know, might be something that I find objectionable? You know, as the share price goes up for this company, as dividends are paid, if it's through an activity that's inconsistent with my personal beliefs, you know, I profited from that. So it's a question that on some level I have to deal with, and I have to feel good about, you know, how my money's invested. And then if it's making me money, I have to feel good that it was made from something that, for me, again, it's my personal belief that it was made from something that I'm happy to be supporting.
Yeah. Well, and this is a difficult issue. I see your point there. And if I own shares of a company that's advocating to kill the fossil fuel industry or makes huge donations to an organization that I feel is advocating for an issue that I'm personally opposed to, you know, a lot of people feel strongly about companies that support abortion rights, things like that. So I see what you're saying, Mike. So how do we reconcile with this?
Well, it's difficult, but really there's only one way that I think we can deal with it, Tony. And I think it begins by knowing what you own as a shareholder. If it's a share of common stock, or if you have shares in a mutual fund, you know, we have to look deeper than we did in years past at what these companies are doing. Fortunately, the information is available, and it's pretty straightforward. You know, publicly traded companies, you can look on the company's website, and you can glean all types of information as to their activities. There's various reports. You know, public companies have to file information with oversight authorities and regulators, so it's not that hard to find it out. But in addition to what's a matter of a public record, if you want to condense it down, there are services that will screen a company's activities. And here at Compass Retirement Advisors, we do utilize one of those screening services. And they provide software for us. And that software will run a report on a particular company, on a particular mutual fund, or an exchange-traded fund. And that report is going to identify individual positions and point those out consistent with how the software is designed. And perhaps the software is designed to look for activity X or activity Y or activity Z. And then the software will flag that for us and tell us, okay, of the money invested in this mutual fund, for example, X percentage of it is being held in companies involved in these activities. So we can take that information and then we can reconfirm that or maybe unconfirm it on our own through all of the other information that's available. So these screening software companies, you know, help us get started at identifying it, and then we can drill down, so to speak, and really take a close look at the activities that a company might be involved in.
Well, that's huge. I mean, I wasn't aware of software that did that. So that's a valuable and important service, Mike. And I'm glad that you provide that with no charge to our listeners if they need it, correct?
That's
so
right.
If a listener wants to have their investment portfolio evaluated or screened, what should they do?
Well, it's pretty simple, Tony. Just give me a call at 812-787-0809, And we'll talk about activities that you may be concerned about that you might want to have excluded from your investment portfolio that you want to avoid. And if we can identify those within your holdings, we can help you move money away from those activities and reallocate your portfolio. And you're right, Tony, we do not charge a fee for the portfolio screening service. You know, we think this is an important issue, and we're happy to help our listeners screen their portfolios using the software.
Well, yeah, and I know you do that. That's excellent. I really wasn't aware, though, of that software until we talked about this show. And so I think this is good. Can you share some examples of what the screening service you subscribe to provides?
Yeah, I will, Tony. And I want to say that we're going to give these examples without naming a specific mutual fund or a specific company. And we typically don't talk about specific companies or investment product names here on our show. So we're going to just look at the broad category of a mutual fund. There's one mutual fund company that we see quite often when people ask us to review their investment portfolio. And so I ran the screening software on that particular company. And one of their mutual funds within the core holdings has more than 47% of its assets allocated to or owning shares of companies that in some way are contributing, distributing, sponsoring, or manufacturing products related to the abortion industry.
Wow.
Another mutual fund that we screened recently, they have more than 13% of the funds owning shares of companies that are involved in the production or in the promotion of anti-family entertainment. A couple of other activities that the software will screen for, and these would be in the area of bioethics research, and then also human rights violations. You know, they may have a major manufacturing plant in a country somewhere in the world that's noted for, almost, in quotes, slave labor treatment of their employees. And so, you know, if the company I'm investing in is making money from making money by taking advantage of people in those situations, I think, Mike Graber wants to know that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take that into consideration I choose my investments.
Yeah, you want to be morally responsible as well as fiscally responsible or ethically responsible, right?
That's right, Tony. Now, I do want to say this, that, these screening services are not and cannot be 100% correct in every circumstance. Again, they're just to point us in a direction. They're to alert us. And then we have to do a little work on our own, as I said earlier, to drill a little deeper. But I think it's a very good tool to use for an initial analysis of the holdings. Again, they can point us in the right direction, and we can confirm things from that point forward.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Mike, until we become aware of something, we don't know that it's perhaps an issue. We take new information, we analyze it, apply it to our own individual situations, our beliefs, and then if necessary, make adjustments. And I'd never thought about this either. And only recently, within the past year, have I become aware of it, and you helped make me aware of it. And it's obvious that you're passionate about it, because there are companies and mutual funds that are heavily invested in things that you would never want to be a part of. And so you're doing something about it. And I like the fact, Mike, that you're encouraging our listeners to do something about it, to make those adjustments.
Yeah, Tony, we're just here to share information and to provoke some thoughts. And as I said, many years ago, this friend, brought the topic up to me. And then in a different discussion, with someone else, we were looking at a business situation that we were facing at the time. And we simply decided, hey, we didn't know what we didn't know. But once we did, you know, that brings a different perspective. And sometimes a different perspective calls for us to change the way we've been doing things in one way or another. You know, to those who are listening today, you know, if what we're discussing is something that's important to you, I hope you'll give me a call at 812-787-0809 and let's just have a conversation. Let's talk about this. I'll be more than happy to explain the software that we use. There are a number of software programs out there that do this, a number of firms that offer this service. We're paying the licensing fee for this software. We'll tell you what it's designed to look for. And if those are consistent with things that might be on your mind, we'll be happy to provide the report for you again. I'm pleased to do this at no charge, just as a service. Then, if we identify some things that you want to rid your portfolio of, we'll be happy to help you reposition those assets, maybe into accounts that use a similar screening service so that those types of activities won't be found in your portfolio. Again, the caveat is nothing is 100% pure and perfect, but at least we can be on the right track. Well, we're starting to run out of time here for today's show, and I have a couple reminders for everyone. Remember to check the website usdebtclock.org. The federal debt issue is impacting all of us. And here at Compass Retirement Advisors, we believe that effect is going to impact us more each year as the government struggles to pay the bills. Unfunded liabilities here in the United States are nearing $190 trillion. The $32 trillion in debt that we hear about, that pales whenever we hear about the total promises and liabilities that the government has being almost $190 trillion. And I believe we need to have our retirement portfolios prepared for a time frame where federal income tax rates, either through higher rates or changes to the code, changes to things that we can deduct, are going to mean that we're all paying more in tax. That's my opinion of what's down the road. Finally, I want to close today's program with a quote from Will Rogers. And here's what he said about our government. Will said, "Lord, the money we do spend on the government, and it's not one bit better than the government we got for one-third of the money years ago." Well, I hope you'll make sure that your future is retirement ready. If you have any questions, call me at 812-787-0809. You can visit our website, CompassRetirementAdvisorsLLC.com. And when you visit the website, check up in the top right, you'll see a radio tab. Click that and you can get our most recent 5 to 7 shows there. And you can always find us at your favorite podcast site by subscribing to Retirement Talk with Mike Graber. Hope you have a great day. Hope you're enjoying early summer. And you'll join us again here next week for another important retirement income related topic. Thank you so much, everyone.
All right. Thanks, Mike. And that does it for today's episode of Retirement Talk with Mike Graber. Thank you for listening to Retirement Talk. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, contact Mike Graber at Compass Retirement Advisors. Call 812-787-0809 or visit them online at CompassRetirementAdvisorsLLC.com.
Investment advisory services provided by Creative One Wealth LLC, a registered investment advisor. Compass Retirement Advisors LLC, The Insurance Shop Inc., and Creative One Wealth LLC are unaffiliated entities. Mike Graber and Compass Retirement Advisors are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any government agency. Provided content is for overview and informational purposes only and is not intended and should not be relied upon as individualized tax, legal fiduciary, or investment advice. Each individual situation will vary and opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Illustrations given are hypothetical examples and provided of illustrative purposes only. It does not represent real-life scenarios. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representation can be made to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. The information contained herein is based on our understanding of current tax law. Tax and legislative information may be subject to change and different interpretations. We recommend that you seek professional legal advice for applicability to your personal information.